Good evening, Mr. President. You don't know me, nor do you need to. But I want to speak to you candidly, honestly, and directly as a member of the American African community. You have recently been elected or selected the 45th President of the United States of America. And there's some things that you need to be told about Black America that you don't generally hear. First of all, I understand that you have recently met with some Black celebrities and entertainers. From what I've gathered, you wanted an honest dialogue with men and women whom you believe represent the African-American paradigm. And although I say this with all humility and respect, if you want the truth about Black America, you do not get it from Black celebrities. This is not meant to throw them under the bus. I don't say this with any type of disrespect, but it has been quite some time since Steve Harvey has lived with Black people. It has been quite some time since Ray Lewis has lived with Black people. Again, this is not meant to insult my brothers. I think there is a degree of value in African-American children seeing Black men earn success through legal channels when it's so often denied to other Black men whom they see every day. But no millionaire, no Black millionaire who does not live in the average Black community can ever effectively articulate the struggles, the pain, the interests, and the needs of Black folk. And I think it is high time that presidents of these United States stop going to Black celebrities to find out what's going on with Black people, working class Black folks, and underclass Black folks. They do not live with us. They are not of us. They don't know anything about us. Only when it comes to African Americans do you see leaders trying to find out about poor Blacks from rich Blacks. If you want to find out about poor whites, do you go to rich whites? If you want to find out about working class whites, do you go to celebrities? Do you go to multimillionaires to find out what it is like for those who can barely find a job that pays the minimum wage? So please stop insulting our intelligence by consulting rich celebrities. Al Sharpton, we respect him. He's done some good things, but he don't represent us. Ray Lewis, we respect him. He's done some good things, but he don't represent us. Steve Harvey, we respect him, but he don't represent us. He's our brother. We love them. Reverend Sharpton and Reverend Jackson, their elders, we respect them. We love them, but they do not represent the mindset of new Black America. They represent the mindset of an old Black America. The new Black America belongs to American Africans under the age of 40. And it is this population that I represent and whose needs I would like to articulate to you tonight. First of all, President Trump, let me say to you, I am not a Republican or a Democrat. I have the least bit of concern or interest in the success of either one of those parties. Both of them condoned our oppression. Both parties supported our segregation. And neither party has done anything of significance for Black people. So I'm not speaking to you as a Democrat or Republican. I'm speaking to you as what I am when my ancestors were brought to this country, and that is a Black man. And I'm here to articulate the needs of a Black man. Now, before you ask the question, did I have words for President Obama? Let me say to you that I'm not here to disrespect President Obama because a lot of my people love him. They consider him to be a symbol of some type of progress. Okay? I understand that their visions are diluted. I understand that it makes no sense for an oppressed group of people to see victory in a symbol that doesn't have any substance. But be that as it may, they love him, and I have nothing to say against him. But I will say that I was just as critical of President Obama as I was of President Bush, as I was of President Clinton, and as I will be of President Donald Trump. No president should ever be given an 8-year ride where they are immune from accountability from Black folks. No president gets a free ride when it comes to Black folks, whether they are all Black, biracial, or white. There should be no exceptions. Now, getting back to you, sir, the first thing I need you to understand is that Black America doesn't need white folks to do anything for us. Let me say this again, President Trump. I need you to really understand this, because the narrative that the United States government in the American social order has constantly been putting out about black people suggests that we're always looking for handouts. It suggests that we need white people to do something for us. Well, I'm here to tell you, Mr. President, we don't need you or any other white person to do anything for us. What we need for you to do is to stop your people from doing things to us that allows us an opportunity to do things for ourselves. Let me say this again, Mr. Trump, because I need you to understand this. We don't need white America to do anything for us. We need white America to stop doing things against us that prevents us from being able to do for ourselves what you are able to do for yourself. What do I mean? I mean that when you look at the black predicament, nearly every problem that we struggle from was created by your people. That's right. Every single problem we have was created by white folk. It's true that these problems are often maintained and reinforced by us. I will be the first to admit that. But these problems would not even exist if your ancestors didn't bring my ancestors over here to work for free for 243 years and then to suffer them an additional 152 years of neo-slavery. So with all due respect, this conversation would not have even been necessary if it wasn't for white folks dragging black folks from their homes. But when you look at mass incarceration, Mr. President, what do you see? Black men disproportionately represented at all levels of the criminal enterprise. And still worse, 95% of black men and women and children who are incarcerated in this country are incarcerated for crimes they didn't even commit. They are there, many of them, simply awaiting a trial. Your Constitution says that they have a right to a speedy trial. Well, that's what the Constitution says. But I promise you that if you investigate the prison realities of black people in this country, seldom do our people receive access to a speedy trial. Not only that, 95% of black inmates had their cases plea bargained by a public pretender. That's right. They were told that you need to cop a plea even when they were innocent, because if you try to stand up and fight and prove your innocence, you may end up getting more time by trying to prove your innocence than you would get in copping a plea and accepting guilt for a crime that you never committed. Black criminals, so-called criminals, black offenders, 85% recidivism, President Trump. 85%. 85% of black people in jail, when they get out, are likely to return. Now, your people in the United States Department of Justice, your people in the criminal industrial complex would like you to believe that the reason black prisoners go back to jail after they paid their debt is because they love to commit crime. Nothing could be further from the truth, Mr. President. I'm sure you know your history. Have you studied the history of Italian Jews in this country? Have you studied the history of Irish immigrants in this country? Have you studied the history of all the European ethnic minorities who have come here? They broke the law. They sold drugs. They gangbanged. They killed each other in the streets. They got drunk. What African Americans do, some African Americans, because most of us do not engage in that type of behavior, but for the few who do, they're only imitating the behavior that your people used to engage in. That's right. Up until 1940, what you see African Americans, some of us do now, Jews did it. What you see some of us do now, Irish did it. What you see some of us do now, Italians did it. But in 1940, the United States government decided to upgrade the status of Southern European immigrants. And so they gave the Italians the fire departments across America's inner cities. They gave the Irish the police departments across America's inner cities, and they gave the European Jews the downtown civil service jobs in our local government that they still control to this day. These are facts, and you can research them yourself. If you want to help us, after an African American has served their debt to society, a debt that most of them should have never had to serve in the first place, because most crimes, Mr. President, committed by black folks are committed out of hunger. They are hunger crimes. What do I mean by hunger crimes? I mean black people rob, or they steal, or they break the law to feed their families, because in this country, livable wage jobs for black people is not something that we receive. Livable wage jobs for black people is not something that no recent presidential administration has ever seriously taken a look at. We do what we do to feed our children, not because we want to. You're talking to a man whose parents were at one time married. You're talking to a man whose father was in his life. You're talking to a man with a high school diploma, 6 degrees, a doctorate, and 3 masters. So you're not talking to a quote-unquote so-called traditional angry black man. But I'm here to tell you, Mr. Trump, that I am an angry black man. I'm angry because most of my black brothers in this country will never get the opportunities that I had. I'm angry because most black women in this country will never have the opportunity of marrying a man who can adequately provide for them and their children, because your government keeps on locking them up and denying them opportunities. If you want to help us, after an African has got out of jail, after they've got out of jail, after 5 years, Mr. President, their criminal record should be totally expunged. I'm going to say it again. If you want to do something for African Americans, then expunge the records of those of us who have paid our debts to society. If I went to jail 20 years ago and I paid my debt and I hadn't broken any law since then, why is a prison sentence that I paid 20, 30, 40 years ago still being held against me today, Mr. President? Is that fair? What does a crime committed at 20 have to do with my opportunities at 40? What does a crime committed at 40 have to do with my opportunities at 60? The reason they do not expunge the records of African Americans is because they want to prevent us from being able to provide for ourselves and provide for our families, which in essence means that America intends to make every black man or woman who was once a criminal, always a criminal. I said America intends to make every black man and woman who was once a criminal, Mr. President, always a criminal. You can do something about that. Sign an executive order that expunges the record of all nonviolent criminals who have kept their noses clean for 5 years. And for violent criminals, they should have the opportunity to also appeal for an expungement of the record if they have kept their noses clean for 10 years. Give my people a second chance. And if you cannot do that, don't you dare call me an American. If you cannot do that, don't you dare claim that we have constitutional rights. I'm not blaming you for what your 43 predecessors did. I'm not blaming you for what your ancestors did. I'm saying that you are a president who comes from a non-traditional pathway to the White House. You are not a politician by trade. You are a businessman. So let's talk business. If there's two things that African Americans need from the President of the United States, again, we don't need you to do anything. We need you to remove access to opportunity. Let me say it again, Mr. President. We don't need you to do anything. We need you to remove the barriers that provide access to opportunity. I'll give you the two main things. If you want to focus on two things for Black America, in fact, we're going to make it three. We're going to make it three. Economics, education, and criminal justice. Economics, incarceration, and education. I'm going to say it again, Mr. President. Economics, incarceration, and education. If you take care of those three, if you remove the barriers that deny us access to opportunity in those three areas, economics, education, and incarceration, I will say that you have done a satisfactory job. Now, let's talk about this. You want to know why the ghetto is still a ghetto, Mr. President? You want to know why the black community has no infrastructure, Mr. President? Have you ever wondered why we no longer have hospitals? We don't have our own residential communities, not projects and ghettos. I'm not talking Federal Housing Authority Section 8 programs. I'm talking about legitimate African-American communities. You ever wonder why we don't have our own import-export companies? You wonder why we don't have a Walmart, Starbucks, Denny's, McDonald's? Of course, you have some independent black owners of that, but why we don't have our own franchises, Mr. President? You know why? The biggest form of racism against my people in this country is economic apartheid. I'm gonna say it again, Mr. President, because I need you to understand me. And I hope those in your cabinet, I hope someone shows you this video, because you're not gonna get this from Steve Harvey, and you're not gonna get this from Ray Lewis, and you're not gonna get this from Al Sharpton, and you're not gonna get this from anyone else who you're talking to who is a rich black. Talk to people on the bottom. Talk to the black youth. Talk to the glad grassroots organizers. Stop disrespecting us by going to rich black folks to find out what's going on with everyday black folks. Economic apartheid. Black people are systematically and routinely denied access to capital from America's banking institutions. And in denying us access to capital, Mr. Trump, they deny us the opportunity to build successful black communities. You wonder why the Chinese are opening up stop and goes all in the black neighborhood? You wonder why the Arabs and the East Indians are in the black neighborhood with their shops? You're a businessman. You know why. It's because we're not allowed to access the loans that allow us to build our own hospitals, build our own banks, build our own airlines, build our own train companies and train stations. We want the same things that everybody else wants. And not all African Americans, Mr. Trump, are addicted to integration. Let me say that again. The dominant narrative coming out of this country is that every black person wants to live next door to a white person. The dominant narrative coming out of this country is that the only thing black people want is participation in the white reality. That is a lie, Mr. Trump. We want our own reality. We've been dealing with white folks in this country since 1619. And that's not to include those of us who were here before that. But if we want to count from the inception of slavery in the 13 colonies, 1619. Jamestown, Virginia, August the 21st was the first day of slavery for those group of Africans who was brought up here on a Spanish vessel. That means 398 years ago. We are an intelligent people, and so are you. And you know, like I know, that there is no opportunity for black people to ever be treated as equal with white folks. Even you yourself are guilty of practicing racism. And within your own properties, will you systematically deny black people an opportunity to live in some of the Trump properties? So even you practice racism. And I'm not mad at you, because all white people are racist. All white people are racist, every one of you. I didn't say you hate black people, Mr. Trump. I said you were racist, and I need you to understand the difference. By racism, I mean you and every member of your race has a personal vested interest in maintaining the disproportionate power relationship that you enjoy vis-a-vis the discrimination and marginalization of black folks. It's not personal, it's business. You don't have to hate me in order to practice racism against me. So if we admit that white people are racist, if we admit, as your predecessor, Thomas Jefferson, once said himself, Abraham Lincoln said it as well, George Washington alluded to it as well. Most presidents of the United States have admitted out of their own mouths that it is impossible for white people to treat black people as their equals. And if you notice to be the truth, President Trump, help us build up our own communities. Am I saying give us segregated communities? I'm not saying that. You don't have to forcibly keep white folks away from black folks. White people don't want our company. Let me say it again. You do not have to put any Jim Crow laws in place to keep white people away from black people. I promise you that. White people do a good enough job of keeping themselves away from us on their own. On their own. And you don't have to put no laws in place to keep black folks away from white folks. We know that we're not wanted. So we don't need to create a new system of Jim Crow. All I'm saying is give us the opportunity to build independent communities for ourselves. All you have to do is eliminate racism in business loans, eliminate systematic economic racism from Wells Fargo and Chase and Bank of America and all the other banks of America. Make the cost too high for them to be found practicing systematic racism against black people. Oh, sure, Mr. President, they love to give us student loans. Oh, sure, Mr. President, they love to give us housing loans. Oh, sure, Mr. President, they love to give us car loans. You want to know why? Because when they give us student loans and housing loans and car loans, they're really just investing in our debt. But when they give us business loans, they invest in our freedom. And one of the best ways to keep black people from competing on an equitable scale with white folks is deny us access to the economic wealth we need to put us on the same playing field where we can compete with UPS, we can compete with McDonald's, we can compete with Toyota. We can compete with the superstores of America. That's right. Are you not aware, Mr. Trump, that over 50% of the inventions in this country, over 50% of the inventions in this country prior to 1960 came out of the minds of black people? Oh, yes, sir. I'm sure you have a cell phone, don't you, Mr. Trump? Who invented this? Not your people, my people did. I'm sure you have an internet account. Who invented the internet? Not your people, my people did. Those helicopters that fly you around from time to time when you're not on Air Force One, those were not invented by your people. They were invented by my people. Okay? When you go home at night and you turn on the lights in the White House in your bedroom, okay? Those lights that you turn on, how are they even possible? Not because of a white man, but because of a black man, Lewis Latimer. That's right. White people know that black people are no dummies, Mr. Trump. That's why they discriminate against us. See, the irony of racism, Mr. President, the irony of racism is that if you're truly superior to another group of people, why do you have to disadvantage the opportunities? Let me say it again. If you are truly superior to another people, why do you have to sabotage their opportunities? If I am inferior to you should not have to do anything to prove your superiority. It should naturally manifest itself. The only time you have to disadvantage the competition is when you are insecure about your presumed narcissistic superiority. Now, getting back to the economics, Mr. Trump, I'm sure you're aware as a businessman, you do real estate. I'm sure you know all about the gentrification movement that is well underway in these United States. It began at the tail end of President Clinton's administration. It was intensified under President Bush's administration, and it was allowed to go on during President Obama's administration, and now it's on your lap. I cannot ask you to undo a gentrification campaign that has been in effect for nearly 20 years or longer. As you know, the inner cities of America are being cleaned out. They're moving black folks as far away from the inner cities as they possibly can. I just came from Detroit. They're gentrifying Detroit. In Philadelphia, they're gentrifying Philadelphia. Okay? I'm over here in California. They're even gentrifying sections of California. Chicago, they're gentrifying Chicago. Indianapolis, Harlem, Washington, Baltimore, you name it, every major city in America. Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Houston, Austin, Dallas, they're gentrifying it. Milwaukee, they're gentrifying it, moving black folks out of the inner city. There's probably nothing you can do about it. But let me tell you how you can remove a barrier to opportunity for American Africans. You know where they're going to be sending us to. I know you know this. They want us out of Detroit, and they want to send us past 8 Mile. They want us out of Philadelphia, and they want to send us past Darby and Yaden. They want us out of Harlem. They want to send us out beyond the borders of Manhattan. If you know where they plan to relocate African Americans, Mr. President, tell us. Tell us where they plan to relocate us. Let us bring in our scientists to make sure that these new residential districts, no, let's call them what they are, concentration camps. Let us get our black scientists together to make sure the new concentration camps are environmentally sound. And if you tell us where they plan to relocate us, give us the opportunity. We don't need a handout. Give us the opportunity to go ahead, relocate to the new concentration camp, lock it down, buy it up, own it outright, and let us create our new reality. That's what you can do for us. Y'all want us out? Fine. Give us control of the area you want to send us to. And don't let no white folks, no Chinese, no Arabs, no East Indians come in there and open up a single Starbucks, a single McDonald's, a single bank, a single liquor store. If you want us out the inner cities, you will leave us to ourselves, and no one will be allowed to come into the new concentration camps to exploit the black dollar. What do you say to that, Mr. President? Fair is fair, wouldn't you agree? Fair is fair, wouldn't you agree? Y'all want us out Detroit, y'all want us out Chicago, y'all want us out Philadelphia, y'all want us out Harlem, y'all want us out Washington, you want us out Houston, you want us out Baltimore, you want us out of everywhere. So guess what? We will go, because there's nothing we can do at this point. But when we get there, leave us the hell alone, please. I say that respectfully. Let us go. And this time, don't bother us. And let me also just remind you, Mr. President, why are we even in the inner cities? Remember what I said earlier? All of the problems we have were created by your government and by members of your race. You know why black folks are in the inner cities? Because during the First World War, because you wouldn't let us fight in it, when you sent the white boys off to fight for white resources and power and property, your giants of capitalism came down to Georgia. You came down to North Carolina, South Carolina. You came down to Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas. You came down to Arkansas. We were minding our business. And y'all summoned us to come north. Y'all begged us to come north. So the Great Migration began right around World War I. So we can do what? Come and replace the white boys who you sent off to war, replace them on the factory line. That's why you brought us up here. Okay? So don't blame this on us. Y'all brought us to the inner cities, and then you only wanted to use us for wartime industry. You wasn't honest with black folks. You didn't tell us that as soon as the war was over, you wanted us to pack up and send our black asses back down south. You didn't say that. You didn't tell us that. But when the white boys came home, y'all laid us off. That's right. And then after the Great Depression passed, the Federal Housing Association was founded to give poor white people the opportunity to buy a nice house in a white suburb. That's right. Y'all subsidized them. Y'all gave them grants. Y'all gave them loans. And poor white people who didn't earn a single penny more than poor blacks were allowed to abandon the ghettos and move out into the suburbs with FHA loans. And then when black people tried to abandon the ghettos and move out, y'all redlined us and trapped us in the ghetto. And then after you trapped us in the ghetto, we tried to buy up the ghetto, but the banks refused to give us loans to even buy the devalued properties in the ghettos where we lived. We did not create the ghetto, Mr. President. Your government did. Facts. Facts. We did not create the ghettos, Mr. President. Your government did. And then after the CIA and FBI assassinated Dr. King, okay? And this is not fanatical hearsay. The King family attorney proved in court they won the case, showing that James Earl Ray did not kill Dr. King, Mr. President. The FBI and the CIA did it. After they killed Dr. King, the United States government and the powers that be decided that we can never again let black people rise like this. Never again can the black agenda be the primary agenda in the United States of America. And right after that, the gay riots in Stonewall took place, and y'all used homosexuality to overplace the black agenda as the new minority issue in this country. After Dr. King died, y'all promised that never again will the black agenda be primary. That's right. The day after your inauguration, what happened? We had a woman's march. Okay, was that a coincidence? No, that was not a coincidence. The reason they had a women's march is they're going to make it clear that the primary minority agenda issue in America during the Trump administration will be women. And it works perfectly. It works perfectly because you're not a fan of immigrants. So it works perfectly. So you got to have a minority issue that you're going to pay attention to. So how do you create a minority issue? Because white people are not a minority. So what you do is you make white women a gender instead of members of your race, and that they can be your new minority issue. And I'm not mad at you. Do you, Mr. President? But let's just keep in mind, white women didn't build America. Black folks did. Do you understand? That's right. And yes, I'm going to talk about slavery. You want to know why? Because everything that's going on in America was based and founded on slavery. Why do black people have so much less wealth than white people? Because y'all took possession of it during the years of slavery. And when we got out after the 13th Amendment, we didn't have a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of. Every problem we got predicated in slavery. Every single one. Yes. So, Mr. President, they want to move us out to the suburbs? Fine. Give us access to capital. Okay? Let me rephrase. Don't give us access to capital. Stop blocking our access to capital. And another thing, Mr. President, going back to ex-offenders, returning African citizens, they should all be allowed to get a passport. Not only should you expunge their record, they should all be allowed to get a passport. And if you don't expunge their record, they should definitely be allowed to get a passport. Why? You want to know why? If America isn't going to give a black ex-offender a job, let him go to Jamaica where he can make one. If America is not going to give a black ex-offender a job, let him go to Nigeria where he can make one. If America is not going to give a black ex-offender a job, let him go to Ethiopia. Let him go to Sierra Leone. Let him go to the Congo. Let him go to the Gambia. Let him go to Malawi. Let him go to Kenya. Let him go to Central and South America. Let him go to Brazil. Let him go to the Bahamas, to Bermuda, to Haiti, and make his own job. Isn't it cruel, Mr. President? Isn't it cruel that you will not give an ex-offender a fresh chance? You won't expunge his record, and then you deny him a passport that doesn't even allow him to travel outside the country to find work. Come on, Mr. President. You have to admit something is wrong with that. And do me another favor. Please don't do the Al Gore, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter rehearsed narrative that we're tired of seeing fatherless black children. I don't ever want to hear another president of the United States ever again talk about fatherless black children. You have no right, sir, to talk about fatherless black children. Do you know why the children are so fatherless? Because your mass incarceration industry keeps on making the children fatherless by locking up their daddies. That's right. That's right. You want to know why we got so much special ed, juvenile delinquency, high school dropout, gangs? You know why? Because the United States government is in the business of destroying families by sending the fathers off to jail. Just like in slavery, you was in the business of destroying families by sending black men off to the plantation. It ain't changed. The game is still the same. The game is still the same. The United States government is the number one reason for the demise of the black family. Are you aware, sir, that only our women, only black women, they're the only women in this country, Mr. Trump, who out-earn and out-educate their partners. It ain't because we're lazy. It ain't because we don't have motive and drive. It's because white men see black men as a threat. Yes, they do. They see us as a threat. They don't see women as a threat. And because they see us as a threat, they systematically practice bias, disproportionality, and segregation when it comes to the proper education and employment of black males. Y'all deliberately overeducate and overemploy black women, and you deliberately undereducate and underemploy black men. Facts. Facts. So don't start talking about no fatherless black kids unless you want to talk about your criminally unjust criminal justice system. Three strikes and you out. Mandatory minimum sentencing for nonviolent drug-related offenders. I know you didn't put that into law. You just got in office. That came under a Democrat, President Clinton. But I ain't seen no Republicans doing anything to get rid of it. You didn't create the law, but I ain't seen no Republican presidents doing anything to ignore the law, to get rid of it. Now, let's talk about education. There's one thing you can do that don't cost you no money. I'm gonna give you a solution to the miseducation of black boys, and you don't have to spend a penny out of your budget. You ain't got to spend one tax dollar, Mr. President, and you can fix the miseducation of black boys overnight. Okay? No, I do not want to be your Secretary of Education. I do not want to be your Undersecretary for Black Education. I don't want to be your Civil Rights Chair. It is a conflict of interest for me as an organizer and leader of my people to serve in a government that represents the agenda of my oppressors. I will give you advice, but I don't want no money from you. I don't want no job from you. I don't want no appointment from you. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm saying that this tongue must stay free because my people count on me to give them the undiluted raw truth. And yes, there are some PhDs, there are some black PhDs in this country who are not for sale. And I'm one of them. I'm going to say it again. There are some black doctors in the United States who cannot be bought. We cannot be bought with money. We cannot be bought with positions. We cannot be bought with white women. We cannot be bought. And I'm one of them. So if you ever need the truth, I will give you that. But please, please, please do not seek me to make a legitimizer of an administration that you and I both know does not have the best interests of black people at heart. Facts. So, what is the one thing that President Trump could do to totally change the trajectory of black miseducation without spending a penny? All you have to do is tell every school district in America that you want to give them, you could give them 2 years. Give them 2 years. No, give them 1 year, because we're in the state of Christ. Give them 1 year. But you tell them that all federal funding will be discontinued next year if the percentage of black male teachers in your school district, if the percentage of black male teachers in your school district does not equal the percentage of black male students in your school district. I'm going to say it again. See, Mr. President, we're not asking for more than our share. All we want is what we're entitled to. I'm going to give you a solution again. You ain't got to spend no money, no taxes, nothing. All you have to do is let them know that the money you already get, No Child Left Behind, the money you already get, Reach to Succeed, the money you already get, Title I, the money you already get, Special Ed, you will lose it if in the next 12 months, your percentage of African-American male teachers does not equal the percentage of African-American male students. Facts. You will transform education, President Trump, without even spending a dime. Now, you're not an educator. I am. You're not a psychologist, but I am. Let me tell you why this one thing that doesn't cost you a penny will totally transform education for my little brothers. Special ed, almost exclusively black male. ADHD in the inner city, almost exclusively black male. Psychiatric med, juvenile detention, suspension, expulsion, almost exclusively black male. Guess what you can do, President Trump, to raise the test scores? Guess what you can do, President Trump, to lower special ed rates? Guess what you can do, President Trump, to increase graduation rates? Because as we sit here with this conversation, sir, only one out of every four black boys is graduating from high school. Only one. Only three out of every 100 black baby boys born in this world, President Trump, will ever see the inside of a college. All you have to do is tell the school districts of America that I'm giving you 1 year for you to bulk up your black male certified licensed teacher population. Well, I'm going to start taking money. I promise you. I promise you. Not only will they do it, you will see instant impact. because black boys don't have their father. So if you give them a black male teacher, you satisfy their emotional needs as well as their cultural needs, as well as their social needs, as well as their intellectual needs, Mr. President. Facts. Listen, 93% of America's teachers are women, and 97% of them are white women who don't care about our children. I can say that, sir, because I'm an educator. I can say that, sir. I'm a former school principal. I can say that, sir. I'm a school psychologist. They don't like our children, and you know it. So the reason black boys are struggling is because black boys are twice discriminated against, Mr. President. They're discriminated against because they're boys, and then they're discriminated against because they're black. Black boys being blackmailed by white female teachers. You want to help us out? Put black men, and don't let them tell you they can't find them. Because Teach for America finds white males every day who are under-credentialed, uncertified, without degrees, without licenses, and they bring them in our inner cities to teach our kids. So if they can bring a white boy who's unlicensed and uncertified without the proper credential into the black school to teach, then they could do the same thing for black men. There's tens of thousands of educated black men without prison records who can't find jobs, who would love to go into the inner cities and teach our boys. Something else. Oh, and you can do it. You want to know how I know you can do it? Because President Obama did it. He just didn't do it in a way that helped black kids. He did it in a way that hurt black kids. Let me tell you what your predecessor did. President Obama sent a letter to every school district in America threatening to cut off federal funds if they did not allow children to begin using the restrooms of the genders with which they identify. Now, I lost a lot of respect for President Obama for forcing sexual confusion in gender identity issues on black kids. Now, if he said that for adults, it would be different. Adults know what they want to do and what they want to be. Children don't. So letting boys go into the girls' bathroom and girls go into the boy, that was trifling. Barack Obama, there's no excuse for that. You should have never done nothing like that. Ain't no business for a black president to be confusing black kids with bathroom use. That's sick. It's real sick. So if he can force school districts to do that, I know you can force school districts to hire more black male teachers. And another thing, not all black people support homosexuality. Yes, we have homosexuals, we have bisexuals, we have transsexuals, we have lesbians. It's true. We have it, y'all have it. Yes, we do. And guess what? We love all of our brothers and sisters. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But guess what? Some of us do not condone, do not support, and will never co-sign that type of a relationship. We do not hate, we do not practice hate, but we do not support the lifestyle. I would appreciate it, sir. I would very much appreciate it that if you have any gay agenda, that you direct it at adults and not at our children. Many in the African American community are very disappointed in President Obama for forcing homosexuality down our children's throats. His whole first 4 years of office was all about gay this and gay that. I don't have a problem with him protecting homosexuals from abuse. I don't have a problem with him protecting homosexuals and lesbians from discrimination in life. I don't have a problem with that. I do not support same-sex marriage. No, I don't. But I believe everyone has a right to live a decent life free from harm and hurt. I don't have a problem with that. But when he started allowing it to be pushed down our kids' throats in public schools and mixing up the bathrooms and gay this and gay that, we was not for that. In fact, I believe one of the reasons you became president is because a lot of white folks were fed up with Obama constantly pushing homosexuality down everybody's throats. Okay? I'm not anti anybody. I'm not anti gay. I'm not anti nothing, but I do not support same sex relationships. Why? Because I live in a black community where too many of our kids don't have dads because your government keeps locking them up. I live in a black community where only one out of every four black women will ever get married. I live in a black community where the black family is quickly becoming an endangered species. And there's no way on earth I can support the black family and at the same time support a lifestyle that's killing it. I'll say it again, Mr. President. There's no way I can support the black family and at the same time support a lifestyle that is eroding and destroying the very fabric of black family. I have two daughters, sir, two little girls who I love. Okay? The more homosexuality gets pushed on black boys, the less men will be available when my babies are old enough to get married. So I don't see how in any way, shape, or form that could be a benefit to black folks. I'm not going to keep you for much longer, but there's something else we got to talk about, Mr. President, and that's the police. The police. I'm sure you know who Trayvon Martin is. I'm sure you know who Michael Brown is. I'm sure you know who Sandra Bland is. I'm sure you know who Eric Garner is. I'm sure you know who Tamir Rice is. Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, Walter Scott. And I can be here all day naming Africans murdered by police who were unarmed for unjustifiable reasons. Are you aware, President Trump, that 75% of the police in our community don't come from our community and don't look like the people in our community? Let me say this again. 75% of the police in our community don't live in it, don't come from it, and don't look like it. Now, let me ask you a question. What would happen if most of the police in a white neighborhood were predominantly black? What would happen if most of the police in a European Jewish neighborhood were mostly German immigrants? Those people would go crazy. And they should. Because ain't nobody got any business policing a neighborhood they don't care about. Let me say it again. Nobody has any business policing a community that they do not respect. Nobody has any business being bothered with the community that they wish never existed. In order to be a cop, you gotta have compassion. Why is it, President Trump, that y'all can't hire black men and black women to be police? In our own community. If white people got white police, why can't the black community have black police? Why is that such a problem, President Trump? You want to do something to remove access to opportunity? Remove the barriers that limit the amount of black folk who can be police in the neighborhoods they grew up in. I mean, come on. You're a smart man. You're a billionaire. Okay? What makes more sense? Having white racist police in a black neighborhood or having black people who grew up in the neighborhood police their own people? Okay? Let's do the math on this. Would Michael Brown be dead if the police that stopped him was black? Would Sandra Bland be dead if the police that stopped her were black? Would Walter Scott and Philando Castile still be alive if the police that stopped them looked like them and lived amongst them? What do you think? I think we both know the answer to that question, don't we, Mr. President? You have to do something about the unnecessarily large amounts of white police in white and black residential neighborhoods. It's not acceptable, President Trump, and you need to do something about it. And you need to do something about it. Yes. And I'm gonna give you something else. Hospitals. We gotta talk about hospital racism. I'm not even gonna get into the whole Obamacare. That's between you and the Democrats. I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat. I could give a damn. But what I do wanna talk about is something Obama didn't deal with in Obamacare. Well, he didn't deal with anything that affected black folks. And that is the racist treatment that black people receive when they go to the emergency room, the racist treatment that black people receive when they are in the hospitals. White nurses treat black people like dirt. White doctors act like they don't have to be accountable to the families of black people. So guess what? Since we cannot get equitable care in your hospitals, you are going to have to remove the barriers so we can access wealth from the banks to build our own hospitals. If there's any place where racism is obvious, and I'm going to say this, racism might be more obvious in the hospital than in a high school. I'm going to say it again. Racism might be more obvious in the hospital than in the high school. Hospitals and schools, that's where some of your most educated white folks come into contact with some of your most uneducated African Americans, okay? Not from an intellectual standpoint, but from a formal education standpoint. And we get mistreated. I personally know of about almost a dozen black folks who are dead, who should not be dead because of poor treatment at the hospital. I'm gonna give you one, a civil rights icon, an ancestor who was once an elder, who is now gone, who was the first black mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, Mayor Chukwue Lumumba. Mayor Chukwue Lumumba. When Mayor Chukwue went into the hospital a couple years ago, he had some heart pains from what I understand. He walked in on his own feet, and within a few hours, he was dead. I have a cousin of mine, very close. We were born the same week, 7 days apart, same age. She's dead, quite possibly due to a medical mistake. There's other people I can think of who are now deceased due to obvious medical mistakes. Now, we know statistically 500,000 people die every year from medical mistakes, and a disproportionate amount of them are black. We need our own hospitals. Don't give us nothing. Just remove the barriers that allow us to access wealth so we can build our own hospitals for ourselves. I told you, President, we don't need handouts. We don't need you to do anything for us. We need you to stop doing things to sabotage our desire to build ourselves up. Another thing, and I'm gonna let you go, sir. Stop including black people in your conversations about minorities. Stop including black people in your conversations about minorities. We have no quarrel with any other so-called minority group. But we have nothing in common with Mexicans. We have nothing in common with Arabs. We have nothing in common with homosexuals. We have nothing in common with East Indians. And we have nothing in common with racist white women. So would you please stop including us with all these other groups who hate us as much as white people do? Chinese can't stand us no more than whites. Arabs can't stand us no more than whites. East Indians can't stand us no more than whites. White gay men are just as racist as white straight men. White lesbian women are just as racist as white heterosexual women. Stop grouping us in with people who hate us. Please, I thank you. Special treatment? You ask, do we want special treatment? Are you aware, Mr. President, that black folks have been receiving special treatment ever since we got to this country? Do you realize slavery was special treatment? Jim Crow was special treatment. The way our kids get educated is special treatment. The way we get treated in court is special treatment. So with all due respect, sir, you cannot be asking whether we want special treatment. You have been giving us that for the past 400 years. Facts. What was that? You say, while we keep harping on slavery, other people been slaves? Yes, other people were slaves. But guess what, Mr. President? There's three things that made our slavery unique. Let me rephrase. There's three things that made the American slavery of African people unique. Number one, Mr. President, our slavery is the only slavery. Let me rephrase. The American slavery of the African is the only slavery in world history where you owned the entire progeny and offspring of an entire family for eternity. It was perpetual slavery. What am I saying? I'm saying you owned grandma, great-grandma, great-great-grandma, great-great-grandma. You owned daughter, granddaughter, great-great-grandma. It was perpetual. No other slavery in human history was perpetual where you owned the unborn child that was not even yours. How can you own the baby in a woman's stomach before she has even given birth? Your slavery was the most barbaric, narcissistic, inhumane slavery in world history. You own the entire family and its descendants, in perpetuity. Never before has that existed. Where you own every single offspring from mom and dad. And when you die, you simply transfer ownership of the offspring to your kids. So your grandparents own my grandparents. Your parents own my parents. You own me. Your grandkids own my grandkids. The greatest crime in human history. Number two, our slavery was the only slavery, Mr. President, in world history where the victims were not even considered to be human beings. Are you aware of that, Mr. Trump? The American slavery of the African, the great Ma'afa, is the only slavery in human history where we were not even considered to be people. This is what your so-called founding fathers did to my grandfathers, to deny us our humanity. No people has ever been denied their humanity. And y'all got the nerve to say black people act like animals. Who taught us? Who taught us? Who taught us? The third thing, the American slavery of the African, Mr. President, is the only slavery ever where it was punishable by death simply for trying to get an education. You could be hung for trying to learn how to write, castrated because you want to be able to sign your own name, fingers chopped off because they caught you reading from a book. And I'm going to add a fourth reason that explains how the American slavery of the African was unique. And this is important, Mr. President, because in case you're not aware, Africans have been enslaved in America almost twice as long as we have been free, sir. Are you aware? 1619 to 1865 is 243 years. 1865 to 2017 is 151, 152 years. We were slaves longer than we were free. So if you wonder why we still act dependent on white folks, it's because we still taking baby steps. You got to learn how to crawl before you can walk, but y'all won't even let us crawl. Y'all won't even let us crawl. You systematically deny access to opportunity, so we never learn how to walk. We don't need no crutches. We need you to get out the way so we can stand up. Not handouts. Remove access to opportunity. So slavery is very much part of the American conversation. So as I begin to bring this to a close, sir, as I begin to bring this to a close, I would just like to say that I hope that you do something during your presidency about the two major issues affecting African people: access to large-scale capital, not no petty $1,000 loans. We want the millions. We want the ones y'all get. We need million-dollar loans, not no $1,000 loans. Million-dollar lines of credit. The two biggest problems facing Black America in the 21st century during your administration is access to large-scale capital and police genocide. Access to large-scale capital and police genocide. If you do something to remove the barriers that keep us from accessing large-scale capital, and if you change the color of the police in our neighborhood so they start looking more like us, I promise you, we take care of the rest of the problems on our own. You heard me right, Mr. President. We don't want any more laws. We've had enough of your laws. We don't need you to introduce no laws. We don't need you to sign no laws. We don't need you to make no laws. We want loans. We want business loans. Keep your laws and give us the loans. We don't want no more rights. We don't want no civil rights. We don't want no family rights. We don't want no constitutional rights. We want financial resources. I'm going to say it again. Keep your rights. Give me the resources. Need no rights. No paper law. We don't need no paper laws. We want paper money. That's right, Mr. Trump. The new struggle for Black America is a financial struggle to create for our own. The new struggle for Black America is a financial struggle to create for our own. You get out of our way. Get them out of our way. Let us access the wealth, and we will do for ourselves what you have done for yourself. That's right. We don't need you to change the schools if we got the money to build our own. That's right. We don't need you to fix the hospitals if we got the money to build our own. We don't need you to build our homes if we got the money to build our own. That's right. We believe in self-determination. Self-determination. But in order for us to self-determine, we need access to wealth that is being denied us by your banks. And do something about those racist police. Get them out of our neighborhood. Hire Black folks, Black teachers, Black police, Black access to capital. Like I told you, education, economics, incarceration.